Blog Talk Radio.
This is your Sister Pearl on Reaching Out Radio in the Word with Sister Pearl. God bless all of our listening audience. We want to thank God for you from wherever you happen to be listening from, all around this globe. We're so very grateful and excited for what God has for us tonight. I want to give a special shout out to my listeners listening in from Asia. One of the larger countries in that continent is the nation of China. I want to say a big God bless you to those brothers and sisters listening from Singapore and from Taiwan, from the Philippines, the happy, one of the so many islands in the Philippines. I've been there 9 times. I want to say we love you. We appreciate you. If you're listening in from Guam, if you're listening in from Macau, or wherever you may be listening in from in India, the big, wonderful nation of India. We know that we have listening audience listening in from there as well. Also, we want to move to Europe. Thank God for you that are listening in from the well-established continent of Europe, whether you're hearing our program from Italy or France or Switzerland or Germany or Belgium or Austria, wherever you may be listening from. We want to say a big God bless you to our European listeners. And then again, we want to go to the continent of Africa. Thank God for so many people listening in from Africa, so many wonderful nations, whether you're on the West Coast, the East Coast, South Africa, somewhere in Central Africa, or there at the tip from Egypt, Ethiopia. We want to say God bless you. We love our African brothers and sisters all around that wonderful, very rich, fertile continent of Africa. And from the country down under, from Australia, we are so grateful to hear some of our listening audience, and we hear some comments from those of you that are listening from the great area in Sydney and Melbourne. Thank God for you that are listening all over Australia and even from New Zealand. We welcome you so very much. Then we want to come a little bit closer to where I'm broadcasting, and I'm broadcasting from North America today. And so we thank God for all of our American listeners, and also from a little bit up north, our Canadian listeners, from a little bit down south, our listeners to the south of North America, which is the country of Mexico. Bienvenido, hermanos y hermanas. Thank you for listening in. And then we want to go to South America. Thank God for all of you that are listening in from South America, whether you're listening in from Argentina or Colombia, Peru. We thank God for you so very much. And just want to give a special welcome to those that might be listening from the Caribbean, whether you're listening in from Puerto Rico or you're listening in from Jamaica, wherever you might be listening in from. Thank God for you. Central America, thank God for you. So, I want to always give the highest praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that makes this program possible. And so we want to bless and honor his most holy name. Without him, there is no reason for us to be broadcasting. He is the one who gives us life. He is the one who gives us a reason. And so many people say, especially in this month of December, he is the reason. Jesus is the reason for the season. And so we're so excited about Jesus, and we celebrate him not only during this season, but all seasons of the year, the four seasons. But, you know, especially at this time when people are thinking about Jesus and the birth of Jesus, I'm not saying that he was born around this time. Most likely he was not born in December. But we have dedicated this time of the year to especially thank God for sending his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and give his life as a ransom, to pay the penalty for my sin, the penalty for your sin. So we thank God for Jesus, especially at this time. We're going to be talking about a very interesting topic tonight, and that's about trusting Jesus. Trusting Jesus. I think more and more as we are coming closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is so key that we place full confidence and trust in him. Why? Because everything around us that can be shaken will be shaken. That goes without any doubt. Things are going to be shaken. Things are being shaken right now in our present world. We talked about some things even last Sunday's broadcast. We talked about that. But tonight, I really want to focus in on what it means to trust Jesus, what it means to put full confidence and faith in him. So before we go into this word, I want us to just bow our heads in prayer. You can do that from wherever you happen to be listening. Just bow your head in prayer as you listen, and I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful, matchless name, the name that's above every other name that can be named, in the name of Jesus, we approach your throne humbly, because we know that we're not worthy. In and of ourselves, we don't deserve to be heard. In and of ourselves, we don't deserve all of the goodness and the benefits that you have made available for your children. But we're so grateful to belong to you. And we just want to say thank you, Abba. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and how mighty you are. And so, Father, as we talk tonight about what it is to trust God, I pray that you will hide me behind the cross, that people don't remember my name. It's not important who brought this message. What is important is that I trust you 100%. What is important is that every man and every woman, every child, every boy, every girl, every teenager, every young person that's listening to the sound of my voice and hearing this message, that they will put their full confidence, full dependence on you, that they would lean heavily into you and trust you without a shadow of a doubt. Why? Because you are so trustworthy. We can afford to trust you. You're the God that never fails us, never forsakes us. You'll never leave us. You'll never trick us. You'll never go on vacation. You'll never fall sick. You'll never go to sleep. We can totally trust you because you have the best for us. You want to do far exceedingly more than we would want to do for ourselves. I don't even know what is the best plan for me, even though I might have a lot of great ideas. But you know my beginning, my middle, and my end. You know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. You know what's going to happen tonight. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so you can see my future like I can never see it. And so I trust you, dear Heavenly Father. I trust you. Help everyone that is listening tonight to get a better understanding of what it is to trust God and why it is so important that we do that without a doubt. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise God. We're going to go into the message tonight, but I tell you what, that word that you heard sung was Lauren Daigle singing about, I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you not only when I can see the way ahead, but I trust in you especially when I cannot see what lays ahead. Why? Because if I can't see it, well, what am I going to depend on? I have to put my full confidence and trust in you. And I love that verse that comes from Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says it like this, for I know the plans that you have for me. They're plans for good. They're plans to cause me to walk into a good end, not to cause me to walk into a calamity. They're not for my destruction. They're plans to bless me. They're plans to do something good for me. So because you have great plans for me, I can put full confidence in you, Heavenly Father. And so that's what we've just prayed. So tonight's message is trusting Jesus. And the word of God that I'm going to come out with at the very beginning is found in Psalm. When you take your Bible and you open it to its middle, that is Psalm. Whenever you open the word of God and you get the middle of the Bible, that is Psalms. So I'm going to read from Psalm 9 and verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So what does that mean? The people that put full confidence in God, they do this because they know his name. And if you know his name, then you'll understand that his name is almighty.
that his name is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides, that his name is Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. His name is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord that is our banner, the Lord that protects us from the storm. His name is Jehovah Shalom, the God that's our peace. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us. His name is Jehovah Sabaoth, the God that's the mighty battle axe, mighty in battle, mighty in war, the captain of the host. His name is Jehovah I am that I am that I am. And so what his name means, when God said, when Jesus walked the earth, that was God incarnate. Jesus is God. And Jesus said that he is the I am. And I am means I am everything that you need me to be to you for life. For instance, I am the light. So when you're in darkness, Jesus is the one who sheds light and allows you to walk clearly so that you don't bounce and hit a wall. He's the one that directs you because he's the light. So if you remember using a flashlight in the dark, imagine that you have Jesus, who is the light of the world, and he is the one guiding you and leading you. He is the light. And so he says, I am the light. Then he said, I am the way. So if you need direction and you don't know which way to go, you're confused, there's many different paths that lie ahead of you, how are you going to know which way is the right way for you to go? Well, Jesus said, I am the way. So we can follow him. We can take his lead. Let him lead and we follow. Amen. Then he says, I am the life. So for you that say, I don't really know what God wants me to do in life, he says, I am life. I am the life. Follow me and I'm going to direct you into your purpose. I'm going to direct you into your destiny. I'm going to direct you into the plan and the purpose that I have for you. The way, the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Not only is he a truth, but he is the truth. He is the truth. You and I don't know what truth is until we connect with him, and then we have truth. Then we know what is truth. And when we know Jesus, we'll know how to discern the lie from the truth. We'll know how to make good of the truth and how to discern, okay, this over here is not the truth. This is a lie. So I don't want to follow that. I don't want to go in that way. So Jesus is someone that you and I can trust fully. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your path. So God says, we should trust in him. Actually, when we trust in him, we're obeying God. When we don't trust in him, we're disobeying. So when we're not trusting God, you and I are in a state. You and I are in a state of disobedience when we fail to trust God. Why? Because he said, trust in me with all of your heart. So in other words, when I trust in God, I'm not even just half-heartedly trusting God, but I am putting all of my faith, my trust, my confidence in God because he said to do that. You and I have to remember that he is the one who created us. He is the one who made us. So when the Creator tells us to trust him, this is something that we should do automatically. It's a part of us obeying him. Trusting God is a part of our obeying him. Then it says in Psalm 13, verse 5, but I trust you in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices
in your salvation.
So in other words, I trust that God's love for me is not going to fail me. Do you know that other people that claim to love you, they can fail you? As much as I love my daughter, and I love her very, very much, you know, God gives us a supernatural love for our children. It is different from any other kind of love. And I love my daughter like that. But don't you know that God loves her far above what I can love her? Because my love can fail her. Even though I would never willfully fail her, but my love can absolutely fail her. And her love, I know she loves me very much, but her love can fail me. Why? Because she's just a human being. And my love, even though it's a mother's love, can fail her because my love is just coming from a human being. But the love that God has for you, listener, whether you be a man, whether you be a woman, whether you've never experienced the love of God, that's beside the point. The fact of it is that God's love for you, even if you don't know him yet, is unfailing. Because the enemy had a plan for you, just like he has a plan for me. And his plan is to take us out, to kill us. So the fact that you're alive and you're listening to this radio broadcast, whatever time that you might be listening to it, shows that God has a plan for your life and you're able to hear this message tonight, which is about trusting Jesus. Because if you trust God fully, you're going to walk into your God-given destiny. And nothing and no one is going to be able to keep you apart from the plan and the purpose that God put you on planet Earth for. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 13, verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. I know that your love for me is not going to fail me. It's not going to let me down. It's going to keep me. Now, I'm not saying that you're never going to walk into difficulty. And so many people get this wrong. They think if God loves them, surely they will never suffer any kind of hardship. Well, that's just not reality. Even though you are fully loved by God, whether you know that or not, whether you've experienced the love of God yet or not, you're fully loved of God, but it does not mean that he's not going to allow you to go through some difficult times. Going through difficult times is a part of living on the earth. There is no one alive that's going to be living on planet Earth and not going to experience difficult times. It's just a part of breathing. It's just a part of living. It's a part of what God uses to build character in us and to build our story, to give us a testimony. Testimony, what word does it have inside of it? It begins with the word test. And so for us to be able to have a testimony and experience and witness the goodness of God to deliver us out of whatever hardship we're dealing with, we're going to have a test first. First comes the test, and then comes the testimony. Amen? I'm going to say that one more time. First comes the test, and then comes the testimony. First comes the hardship. First comes the difficulty. First comes the going through. First comes the problem. First comes the suffering. And then comes the testimony. God is a deliverer, and God loves to deliver us out of whatever it is that we're going through. He never said that we're not going to go through. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So obviously, there is a going through, because that's what it says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So I'm going to go through, but then again, through means that there is a coming out. If there's no coming out, then it's not a going through. We're going through to come out on the other side. On the other side is breakthrough. On the other side is victory. On the other side is deliverance. So I will go through, and you will go through, and your neighbor will go through, and the one that you're praying for will go through. But we believe, by the grace of God, that we will come out. And that's why it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And you're there to comfort me, and you're there to deliver me. But again, what are we talking about on this message? Trusting Jesus. I have to be able to trust Jesus while I'm going through. The Word of God says something very magnificent in Matthew chapter 4. It said that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What do you make of that? First of all, Jesus being God incarnate, God in the flesh, God come down to dwell with humankind, fully God, as you heard me say time and time again in the Word with Sister Pearl, fully God when he walked the planet Earth, but fully man at the same time. So the fully God part of him understood what he had to deal with. But the man part of him was not always so happy about going through, just like you, just like me. Of course I know I have to go through. Am I jumping up and down, excited? Hey, I'm going through. I'm so happy for this problem. I'm so happy for this difficulty. Of course not. That's why Jesus even said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, he asked his Heavenly Father, if it be possible, because he was fully God, he knew what lay ahead of him. He knew what was coming up. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that he was going to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. He knew that people were going to spit on him and call him all kind of curse words. He knew that he was going to go to that cross and be jerked down while he was nailed to the cross, jerking him down to rip out his flesh and have pieces of his flesh flying all over. And he could just get a good picture of the kind of pain and agony he would be in. That was the God part of him, because he knew ahead of time. But the human part of him was saying, if it be possible, Heavenly Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He knew what he was in for. Trust me, he knew. But he was willing to pay that kind of an unbelievable price to pay for my sin, to pay for your sin, so that you and I did not have to be put on the cross. And the sad part of it is, even if we were allowed to be put and nailed to a cross, our sinless blood could never pay the penalty, could never pay for the price of our sin, because my blood is not clean. My blood is sinful. Your blood is sinful. The only one who was really acceptable of the Heavenly Father to pay the penalty for my sin and your sin was Jesus, because he's the only one that lived on the earth sin-free, guilt-free, did not sin at any time. Was he tempted to sin? Of course. The Bible says he was tempted in all things, but resisted, sin not. So this is one of the great things about having Jesus as our Savior, having him as the one that we cry out to and pray to, because he has been there before us. So if you've ever been betrayed by a friend, Jesus had been betrayed by his disciples. And one of his disciples turned him in to have him crucified. So Jesus knows what that's like. Have you ever been lied about? Jesus knows what that's like, because he's been lied about when he walked the planet. They called him a wine bibber and a drunkard. They said he was demon possessed. This was God they were talking about. His own mother and his physical half-brothers and sisters, you know, they came looking for him to take him away while he was preaching and teaching, because they didn't have confidence in who he really was. And they doubted his anointing, that he was the Christ, the Messiah. They were looking at him, you know, this is who we sit down at the table and we eat food with. This is the one who takes a hammer and a saw and nails and makes things. This is the one who our father Joseph taught to be a carpenter. He's just like us. He sits down, he eats. He goes to the bathroom, he relieves himself. He's just like us. He gets tired just like us. So they didn't really see that even though he was in the natural a man and had to do everything a man had to do, you know, take a bath so he can remain clean and have to use the restroom, just like how we have to use the restroom, and had to open up his mouth and talk so he could be understood. And he was just like us. He had to eat. When he got hungry, he had to eat food. He had to drink water. Yeah, he had to go and do all of that stuff. But he was also fully God, and that's where they missed it. They missed it. Fully God. Fully God. And this fully God understood and understands what it is to have people turn their back on him, lie on him, cheat him, betray him, not be grateful for the benefits and the good things that he's done for them. He knows what all of that is about, because he's been there. He knows. He knows what it is to be in physical pain. Are you kidding me? Physical pain? Jesus understands that. You and I, thank God, have never had to be nailed on a cross and then be jerked down. So, does he understand when we go through physical pain? Oh, yes, he does. You and I have never had, at least I don't believe there's anybody listening, and I pray not, that has had that experience of having a crown of thorns made by wicked people, and then taking the crown of thorns and pressing it into your forehead and mock you. So of course he was bleeding. Of course he was in tremendous agony to have thorns dug into his head and forehead. He knows what all of that is. Thank God you and I have not experienced somebody taking a big long nail and driving it into our wrist. Thank God we don't know what that is. But he does. He knows what it is when all his 12 disciples that were, you know, swearing their allegiance that they will never leave him, they would never, Peter said, I would go to jail with you, for you. Are you kidding me? And every last one of his disciples, when he was arrested, left him and ran. Hello. So does God understand what it is to be betrayed, to have your friends leave you, the ones who said they would never leave you? Yeah, he knows all of that. Yeah, he knows all of that. And this is the God that you and I pray to. So when we talk about trusting Jesus, of course we can trust him, because he's been there before us. The word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Wow. That's the person that fully trusts in the Lord and has their confidence secure in Christ. You and I, though the storm may come, and trust me, it will come, though the waters may beat against you, though your boat might be rocked back and forth, though you might be tempted and tried, and sometimes even your enemies might torment you, You're going to be established like a tree that's planted by the water. What happens to a tree that's planted by a water? Their roots go down deep because their roots get the nourishment from the stream. They're so close to a body of water. So they don't get, that tree does not get upset when the heat comes down strong. Why? Because their roots go down deep and continue to be replenished, continue to be watered, continue to be satisfied because their roots are by the stream. And the leaves of that tree continue to stay green. They don't get brown. They don't get ugly. They don't wither. They don't fall off. Why? Because that tree is planted by water, like the person that puts their trust in the Lord and has their confidence in Him. That person is secure. You and I are like that tree that's planted by the water. Hallelujah. Just like that. Now, in these critical days that you and I live, it's so vital that we remember that trust is extremely important, not just a little bit. Extremely important if we say we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to listen to hear His voice. And then we're going to obey His voice and obey His lead. Why? Because we're going to be tested like you and I have never been tested in the history, I believe, of America or of your European country or your Asian country or your African country or your South American country or Australia. You and I are going to be tested. Our faith? What? We're going to be tested. People are going to be testing everything that we stand for in the Word of God. What do you say about what God calls a marriage? You're going to be tested. Are you going to tell them the truth that the Bible tells us in the Word of God? That marriage is between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife? Are you going to stick with that? Or are you going to change? Let me just tell you what I heard recently. The National Association of Evangelicals has just recently switched its position to cater to transgender and the LGBTQ community. How do you like that? The National Association of Evangelicals has just switched from, instead of following the Word of God and going with biblical laid down precepts, they're going to accommodate sin, accommodate perverseness, and they're going to switch. Okay, so this is what I have to say. Then I no longer will identify with them. I will identify with the Word of God, with what God says in His Word, with what the Bible states clearly in the Word of God. And I will disavow any association with the NAE, and I put all of my allegiance with Jesus Christ and righteousness. Amen. And any true man and woman of God needs to do the same. This is the day that we're going to be asked to compromise. You don't have to just be with your husband. You can be with your husband, and you can be with any of your boyfriends that you like. That's the new way we're going to love one another. But that's not biblical. That's not according to God's design. That's not how God wants us to conduct business. God wants us to go His way. And the reason why God said what He said in His Word is because He knows what is good for us. Remember, I can trust Jesus because He has the very best intention at heart for me. He does not want to see me destroyed. He does not want to see me unhappy. He does not want to see me frustrated. He does not want to see me in a position where I want to take my life and commit suicide. He wants what is the best for me. And that's why He lays down His precepts and His ordinances, because there is a way that leads to life and there's another way that leads to death. And God wants me to go the way that leads to life, eternal. And so the reason that we have, certain things in the Word of God that he says, well, I want you to stay away from that, is because he wants to bless us, not because he wants to curse us. Why did he tell Adam and Eve in the garden, you may partake? Look at the kind of God that we serve. He didn't say you can partake of like 10% of the trees. No. Oh, you can go to like a half of the Garden of Eden and leave the other half and don't touch that. No. He gave every animal, every tree, every fruit-bearing tree, every beautiful botanical tree that shows the beautiful flowers. He said to Adam and Eve, you may have all of this except for one lone tree. What am I trying to say? That's the kind of God that you and I can fully depend on, can put all of our trust in, this only true and living God. Why? Because he wants to bless us. He's not trying to withhold good things from us. He wants to give us all of the good things, all of the blessings. He's not trying to be stingy. He's not trying to, hinder us from having a great time. What he's trying to do is keep us from destroying ourselves. Because without him, when you and I go our own way, we wind up destroying ourselves. And I don't have to give you a lot of examples, because everybody who's hearing my voice right now, you know of individuals that have taken upon themselves to destroy themselves. Oh, yes, you do. We all know people that could have gone in a different direction, but they chose to wreck their lives. We all know people like that. Drink themselves to death. Drug themselves to death. Push away all of their loved ones, so now they have nobody that they can call family. See, we all know people that have done that. But God doesn't have that for us. That's not his intention. That's not his plan for these people. God wants to bless them. So he says, because I love you and I want to protect you. Just like an earthly father or mother. Come on. Let's just be realistic. Because we're actually made after the image and likeness of God. So we get this tendency from God. When a mother sees a little toddler who has just learned how to walk, and see that little toddler running to the stove. Usually a stove is not low enough for the toddler to get to, but suppose the toddler can climb, which a lot of toddlers can, and they're very, ingenious. They're quick thinkers. So he can get a little chair when the mother's not looking or the father's not looking. They get a little stool, they get a little chair, and then they climb on it. And now they are high enough to touch the fire from the flames in that open stovetop. Maybe the mother is going to boil something or saute something, so the flame is on. So now they're close enough to it because they already climbed up. But thank God the mother rushes in just in the nick of time and says, Johnny, come down. Don't touch that. Is she telling Johnny don't touch that because she doesn't like Johnny and because she doesn't want Johnny to have a good time? No. She's telling Johnny or little Sally, get away from there, because she's protecting Johnny and Sally. And she doesn't want to see them get burned. She doesn't want to see them destroy their little finger or destroy their hand or burn off their hair. So if you and I, being evil, that's why the Word of God says, if your earthly father, being evil, knows how to give good gifts. Well, my earthly mother would have gotten me away from that fire, and she would have said, she might even hit my hand and said, never do this again. She's not doing that because she's trying to be mean and she's trying to be ugly. She's doing that because she's protecting me. And I want to say to you that everything that God does for us is because he wants to protect us. While you're so desirous of getting that particular man in your life or that particular woman in your life, you want them so bad. if I could only have her, is what you've said to God. Some of you, not everybody, but some of you have said that, and I'm just mouthing what you've already said to God. God, I know that you don't really want me to have her, or if it's a girl, I know, God, that you don't really want me to have him, but I like him so much. Would you just please make one exception and let me have this ungodly heathen to be my boyfriend, to be my girlfriend, and eventually I'd like to marry them? Why do you think that the Word of God says for us not to be unequally yoked with a non-believer? Because God is trying to keep you from having a good time? No, that's not his purpose. That's not his reason. He's trying to protect your skin. He's trying to protect you from a disaster. He's trying to keep your future children away from a disaster and from them witnessing, yelling and screaming and maybe even hitting. He's trying to protect your future generation. But you have a choice. You can trust God. You can believe that God knows more than you and better than you. Or you can think, I know better than God. And I want this so bad that I'm willing to compromise my integrity. I'm willing to disobey God, even though I know in my heart. You know how many people told me this? You know, even walking down the aisle, I knew I was doing the wrong thing. And before I walked down the aisle, the Spirit of God was trying to get my attention and tell me, don't marry this individual. I have someone better for you. I have things better for you in store. Don't do this. But did they trust Jesus? No. Did they obey God? No. They went ahead and did exactly what they wanted to do, married exactly who they wanted to marry, and now regretting it in sackcloth and ashes. Why? Because they refused to trust Jesus. Trusting Jesus does not only affect my life, it affects all of those people in the sphere of my influence. Do you understand me? I'm going to say it one more time. Trusting Jesus does not just affect me, but it affects those that are under the sphere of my influence. Trusting Jesus is extremely important. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to fully surrender to God and trust completely in God's plan for her life in order for her to bear the Lord Jesus. Think about it. The angel comes to her. She is not married. Engaged, yes. Married, not yet. And the angel comes and tells her, beloved and blessed of God, most highly favored of God, God has chosen you to bear his son, the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine how that young woman must have felt? Not married yet. What are the neighbors going to say when she's walking around the neighborhood with this ever-growing belly? And everybody in the neighborhood knows this woman has been betrothed, meaning she's been engaged, but she is definitely, we did not attend any wedding ceremony. Uh-oh. Things do not look good for Mary. Looks like she was doing something wrong, and yet she did nothing wrong except obey God. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to trust God fully, fully. Because the angel comes to her and says, you know, you're going to be with child. And she said, well, how can that be when I don't even know a man? Meaning that, not that she didn't know about different men, but she had no sexual encounter with any man yet. So how's she going to get pregnant? She knew what it was and what it would take to be pregnant. She would definitely have to be having some kind of intimate relationship with a man physically, or else it's not going to happen. So it was her trust in God that said to the angel, you know, as you've said, as you've spoken over to me and over my life, let it be. May God have his will and way in my life. I surrender to the will of God. She trusted God 100%. Amen. We never read any account where it says she rebelled and she fought with God and she ran away. We never see that. We never see it because it never happened. And what about Abraham, the mighty man of God? He's called the father of our faith. Abraham, he had to trust God fully. He had to fully trust in God. How you say that he had to fully trust in God, Sister Pearl? How can you say such a thing? Well, here he is. About 100 years old, even before he was 100, say he was like in his 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And the angels of the Lord come to him, and they tell him that you're going to be a father of many nations. Now, Abram, as he was called in those days, Abram, A-B-R-A-M, he was thinking, you know, like, whoa. The angel of the Lord is coming to me telling me that I'm going to be a father of many nations. I'm in my 90s and I have no child. I do know a little bit how this works. You would have to have children first in order to be a father of many nations. Not just one nation, but many nations. But he doesn't doubt. He doesn't doubt what the word said through the angel. He just says, you know, okay, Lord, I receive. And then here we go with, it even gets more intense than this. What happens is, later on, after God fulfilled his promise, because don't you know that God will always fulfill his promise? When he said he's going to do something, he will surely bring it to pass. He will surely do it. He will surely bring it to pass. Later on, he does give Abraham a wonderful son by his very old wife, Sarah. And his name was called Isaac. And then what happened? After Isaac is born, and Isaac is already a boy, maybe of about 12 years of age, the word of God tells us that God asked Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Oh my goodness. It took me this long to get my son. And now, God is asking me to lay him on the altar and slay him and put him as a sacrifice. Wow. Thank you. Wow. And the Bible doesn't tell us anything about Abraham arguing with God. He heard what God said, and he trusted God, and he obeyed God. Wow. May you and I have that kind of faith. May you and I believe God and trust God so much that whatever God asks us to do, we can do it. I can tell you something right now. God is not going to ask you to go take a knife and kill your baby. God's not going to ask you to do that. So if you hear that, and you hear a voice telling you to take a knife and go and kill your baby, I can tell you right now, you are not hearing the voice of Almighty God. You're hearing a demonic voice tell you to go and do that. But in those days, and in that season, before we had the Holy Spirit come and dwell among men, God did challenge Abraham, and he did hear from a holy God. But see, Abraham trusted God so much that when they were walking to the place, the mountain, Isaac asked his father, I see you have the wood. I see you have, you know, the rope. I see you have the knife. But where's the sacrifice? Where's that thing that you're going to sacrifice to the Heavenly Father? And
what did Abraham say? He said that God will provide the sacrifice. And at that time, Abraham was not sure what God was going to do, whether he was going to really allow him to slay his only son, his only, you know, promised son, Isaac, or that God was going to do something else. All he knew was that God told him to offer up his son, Isaac, and that he was going to do it. Thank God, in the end, he never had to touch Isaac with a knife, because he, while he was raising his hand to bring the knife down on his son, the angel of the Lord told him to stop. And then he heard a ram that was caught in the thicket just a few yards away. And then he knew that that was the thing that God wanted him to sacrifice. That was a test for Abraham. And thank God, God allowed Abraham to pass that test. God's not going to ask you to take a knife and to kill your children. He's not going to ask you to take a gun and to kill your children. He's not going to ask you to take your children to drown them. That's not God. We're now living in a different dimension, in a different dispensation, I should say. The dispensation of grace. God's not going to ask you to go and kill your children to honor him. What he is going to ask you to do is to fully trust and surrender your heart to him. That he is going to ask of you. That he will ask. And are you willing to do that? If you are here when they bring the mark of the beast, for an example, and the Bible tells us clearly that there's coming a day when everybody's going to have a mark on their forehead or on their hand in order to buy and sell. They're not going to be able to go into a store and buy meat and buy groceries and buy vegetables and buy fruits. They're not going to be able to buy milk for their children. They're not going to be able to buy baby food if they have a little one. They're not going to be able to buy anything, produce, nothing, unless they have the mark of the beast. What are you going to do in that day? What am I going to do in that day? If I should be alive and I'm in that day, am I going to take the mark, or am I going to run and hide not to take the mark? This is serious. This is what we're talking about, trusting Jesus. I was offered, on one time, I was offered a job that paid a lot of money, more money than I've ever made up to this present time. I pray to God I'll make more money than that eventually. But I was offered this job, and I wouldn't take the job. Why? Because that job would entail me being part of an organization that promoted abortion internationally in African countries. And I could have taken that job and said, well, I'm not committing abortion and I'm not telling anybody to abort their babies, so why can't I take that job? But I had to trust God and say, okay, even though this job was offered to me, I know I cannot take it. Because that would not be pleasing to God. And God will take care of me and my daughter. By that time, I already had a daughter. And I would have made more than twice the amount of money that I was making at the time when I got that offer. More than twice. Did not take the job because I knew it would not be walking in integrity before a holy God. Why? I want to trust God. I trust God. Gideon had a lot of men with him when God told him to lead men in a battle and that God was going to deliver him. He had a lot of men with him. He had thousands of men with him. And God said, you know what? You got too many men. I want you to bring it down, downsize it. He brought it down. And God said, it's still too many. And he told him how he was going to find out if these were the right men to take with him. It got down from 30,000 men to 300 men. All because God said, obey me and you'll win the battle. This is the word of the Lord to you that's listening into Trusting Jesus' message on In the Word with Sister Pearl tonight. You and I need to trust God. We need to trust Jesus. We need to stop fooling around.
We need to get serious. We need to honor God. We need to trust God with our lives, trust our families to God, trust our future to God, trust everything that we have to God, knowing that God sees the future. You don't know what lies ahead. God does. You don't know what's behind that door. God does. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone listening tonight that we will trust you like we've never trusted you before, and that our lives will show that we're in obedience to you, and obedience to you will show the world how we love you. Father, bless the people and make them a blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Until the next time, this is In the Word with Sister Pearl. God bless you. Walk with the King today and be a blessing. Amen.